For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, September the 3rd, 1993. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the evening.
Hear the Lord says in His people this day that I have purpose to reconcile. I have purpose to restore, saith the Lord. I have purpose to redeem, saith the Lord. I have purpose to heal, saith the Lord. I have purpose to bring forth solutions to thy problem, saith the Lord. And indeed will I bring it to pass. Yea, for all who will put their trust in me, saith the Lord. Indeed, I am Jehovah that healeth thee, saith the Lord. And indeed, put thy trust in me. Yea, I send to thee things wherein thou hast not trusted me in time gone by. Trust me, saith the Lord, and lean heavily upon me. For indeed am I about to stretch forth my hand to show forth my glory. Indeed will I heal, saith the Lord. I will send forth waves of my blessing, saith the Lord. For yea, there are visitations of my spirit that will come at different times, saith the Lord. And even that as it may, saith the Lord, my anointing abideth continually. And yea, indeed, will I stretch forth my hand to help and to heal. For indeed, the time shall come, and it is drawing nigh, when I shall heal the whole earth, saith the Lord. And the knowledge and the glory of the Lord shall be seen and be heard from sea to sea, saith the Lord. And all the earth shall be full of the knowledge and the glory of the Lord. But yea, I send to thee, be ye filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord your God in this day, saith the Lord. Yea, I send to thee, be ye partakers, saith the Lord. Yea, and not wait for some great future event, saith the Lord. For indeed, I am the God of today, saith the Lord. I am the God of now, saith the Lord. Now I am your God. Now I give you faith, saith the Lord. Now I give you strength, saith the Lord. Now I give you courage to receive of the powers of my reconciliation, to receive of the powers of my restoration, saith the Lord. Now I am your restorer, saith the Lord. Now I am your deliverer, saith the Lord. Now I am the one that gives you direction, saith the Lord, to soothe and to heal your uneasiness and your uncertainty, saith the Lord. For you shall go forth from here with certainty, saith the Lord. You shall go forth from here with assurance that I have spoken unto you, saith the Lord, and that I am in the process of giving you the strength, the knowledge, and the courage that you need to go forward.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord! Hallelujah, Lord!
Oh, it's a knot this time that will not come unraveled. For the Lord thy God is doing the knotting this night. Oh, he's doing the knotting this night. And all relationships I'm breathing upon. I'm breathing resurrection life. And oh, a honeymoon love, as it were, in many cases. So drink deep this night. Drink deep. Drink deep this night, saith the Lord. For I'm breathing, I'm blowing, I'm knitting, I'm tying. It's whatever you have need of this night. Your Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is at work in thy midst. On your behalf. On your behalf. On your behalf. Oh, I have ways of doing that, saith the Lord, that you know not of. You can't even begin to imagine, saith the Lord, how I can work it and how I can do it. Right before your very eyes. Right before your very eyes, saith the Lord. So just drink deep of me. Just drink deep and let go. Oh, let go of the fretting and the anxiety and the worries and the fears that literally have many tied in knots, saith the Lord. Just let go. Just let go and let me redo it and remake it and breathe over it. And oh, just kiss it as it were, saith the Lord. So just let go and let me. Just let me do it, and oh, we'll fine-tune it, and we'll brush it, and we'll comb it, as it were, and we'll just breathe new life over it, and it'll just smell like a new rose, just a new rose with a new fragrance. So let go now, and just let me do it, saith the Lord.
introduce you to Tommy Cook, to those of you who have never sat under his ministry. He's a minister and a prophet of the Lord, and ministers as the Lord leads and directs him in word and in prophecy. And the anointing of the Lord rests upon him, and he's been helping us here at the campground for 10 or 12 years and been a side support to us and a help to us, not only by his ministry, but by his standing with us and being a prayer warrior and support of the campground in that respect, because we need it. And we thank the Lord for men like he and Jack and the Canadas and Fletchers Amen. And others who Amen. Come here to minister, who stand with us Amen. In the ministry of deliverance and of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Let's stand again together. Praise the Lord. Not on? You on? Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for divine order that you're bringing forth in us, Lord, individually and corporately. We thank you for these meetings, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone that has come,
that is here by the Holy Spirit, Lord. We bless you and we praise you. And Lord, we believe that everyone that has come to this camp, you have brought them, Lord. We believe that we're not here by accident. We're here by the divine will of God. And we thank you, Lord. And we ask tonight the Holy Spirit to quicken us as we go into your word, Lord. We come against every hindrance, every wicked spirit, every demonic force. I bind you. Every spirit of the enemy, I take authority over you. I command you to loose the people's minds and loose anyone here tonight that cannot hear this word. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I loose that anointing and that direction of the Holy Spirit upon each one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Glenn.
That's right. How many know that God had an order in the Old Testament with his people? The placement of the camp. I have a little brochure here that I just got one. But if you look, those that can see it, when God's people were placed, the camps and the tabernacle made a cross. And yet within the tabernacle, the furniture also made a cross. So there was a cross within the cross. Now, God's people knew where they were to be placed. And God's people knew that they had been placed by a divine God. I mean, no, there's a lot of Christians don't know where they're to be. But God wants to place his people in the body of Christ. Now, that's his job to do that, and it's up to us to listen to him and obey. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, Judah was right at the first of the entrance of the tabernacle. And Benjamin is way up about 12 miles out. And so when the trumpet sounded, Judah was right there, you know. But they had to wait on Benjamin to come down. God had to teach them some patience. I mean, oh, God. Amen. Amen. But God has a divine order. Now, we know that God placed the camp in its order. We know that God was in the midst of the camp. Can you say amen? We know there was a cloud over the camp. There was the manna that came. There was the protection of God, the provision of God, all that was there as people obeyed God. And I believe if we get in the place of God and in the camp of God where God wants us, I believe God's provision and blessing will be there. Hallelujah. But I believe if we run from it, how many know you'll not be blessed? Amen. No, sir. Now turn to Psalm 68. Let's go to a scripture there. Psalm 68, first of all. And let's see where we're going to go tonight. Psalm 68. And we'll obey the Lord as God speaks to us. Psalm 68. Praise the Lord. I'm a teacher. It's hard for me to hold these things and open my Bible. That's all right. We can't help it tonight. Psalm 68, verse 6. Psalm 68, verse 6. It said, God setteth the solitary, that's the lonely, and God setteth the solitary in families. That's your natural family and that's your spiritual family. Let me thank God for both. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I mean, no, that's where it's death, it's dusty, and there's no life. And notice he said the rebellious dwell in the dry land. But we don't have to be rebellious tonight. How many know we can be obedient? If we're obedient, how many know we're going to eat the good, come on, of the land? Amen. So God is setting some people in families. And he's bringing out those which are bound with chains. Hallelujah. He wants to break the chains off of us. Amen. Why has God ordained the local churches? God has ordained the local churches to grow us up and mature us in the Lord. I mean, know that many people want to run from the local church. Now, there's a lot of local churches I don't want to belong to. There's a lot of them that are dead. Come on, help me now. And I don't want to belong to anything that's death. I want to belong to life. But God is placing his people in places where there's life. And God wants the local church to do many things. And I believe God wants to bring forth apostles and prophets, come on, teachers and shepherds and evangelists in the local work, and yet bring them from the outside as well into the local work. Hallelujah. But how many know a lot of pastors are afraid of apostles and prophets? Come on, help me now. Amen. Now, the foundation is laid upon the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2 tells us. Praise God. Not just upon the pastor. Not just upon the teacher or the evangelist. How many know God is going to bring forth apostles and prophets in this hour? In the 50s, he raised up evangelists. Thank God for them. In the 60s, he began to raise up shepherds. In the 70s, he raised up great teachers in the land. And in the 80s, he raised up some prophets. But in the 90s that we're living in now, God is raising up both apostolic and prophetic ministries. Hallelujah. And I believe we need all the ministries. I thank God for everyone, don't you? Thank God for all the ministries. But we need apostles. We need prophets tonight in the land that has the vision from God. And you'll notice here in chapter 68, after he talks about God setting the solitary in families, he also says in verse 9 that God would send a rain upon his inheritance to those that are weary. Now, God is sovereign. He can do it any way he wants to. But how many believe that he's going to use apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists? He's going to put his anointing upon them and in them, amen, to bring a rain in this hour as well. Isn't that right? How many know when Elijah sent his servant to see if there was a cloud? Remember, he went and there was nothing. And then he went back seven times. How many know seven's God's number? Isn't that right? And he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Hallelujah. You know, when the priest in the Old Testament would take the sheaf, you know, a sheaf means a handful, and he would wave it before the Lord. Well, how many know God's got a handful coming forth? Come on, God's got a sheaf coming forth. God's got first fruits coming forth. God's got a people, come on, that's going to hear the Holy Ghost and move with the cloud. And yet he saw that cloud the size of a man's hand, which can represent apostles and prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And he saw that cloud coming out of the sea, which is humanity. That cloud represents the glory of God. And Elijah said, I hear the sound of the abundance, hallelujah, of rain. And he girded up his skirt and outran away having that chariot. Praise the Lord. I believe there's a rain coming in this hour. Amen. But before that rain comes, God's raising up a cloud. God's raising up a handful. Come on, hear me now. God's raising up his first fruits. God's raising an army. He's raising up the Gideon 300, whatever you want to call it. Amen? Amen. Now, notice something out in verse 18 in chapter 68. He says something here. Thou hast ascended on high, speaking of Jesus. Thou hast led captivity captive, and thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. How many know that includes all of us? That the Lord God might dwell among them. I mean, know he gives some grace gifts to the body of Christ. He gave apostles and prophets, teachers, shepherds, come on, and evangelists. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Now, what does the apostle do? The apostle governs. He knows how to govern. The prophet, he knows how to guide by the word of the Lord. The shepherd knows how to, he knows how to guard. The evangelist knows how to gather. And the teacher knows how to grind. Hallelujah. I mean, we need some grinding tonight. Teacher can grind. Now, the thumb represents the apostle, the index represents the prophet, the middle finger represents the evangelist, and this ring finger represents the shepherd. How many know that the qualifications of a shepherd is not in the head, it's in the heart? Amen? Amen. And then the little finger, I mean, all that little finger represents the teacher, and you can get it into your ear, that little finger, and get the wax out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, thank God for the teachers. Amen. And the soundtrack man. Amen. But we need all those ministries, don't we, brother? Said another way, the apostle is the mind of Christ. I don't mean he knows all the mind, but he is the mind of Christ to the body. The prophet is the mouthpiece of God. The evangelist is the very heart of God. His heart is to win people to the Lord. And also the shepherd are the eyes that watch over the flock. And the teachers are the hands that train. Hallelujah. We need the ministries today, brethren. Can you say amen? And so God is bringing forth his ministries. He's setting the solitary in families. Now turn to Matthew chapter 10, please, in the scriptures with me. And I do appreciate everyone coming tonight to hear this word. I know you're not here by accident. God has brought all of us together. Now in chapter 10, verse 1, we know that these are the original 12 apostles of the Lamb that Jesus called. And you know, Jesus prayed all night long before he appointed these 12. I mean, if we'd pray all night long sometime, we'd probably have a whole lot more ministries ministering what we have today. And we wouldn't miss it and put the wrong guys in. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of men saying they're apostles, a lot of men saying they're prophets and so forth. But how many know God has to make a man apostle? He has to make the man the prophet. It's Christ the prophet, Christ the apostle in that manner, or whoever he's using. Now, he said here in chapter 10, notice, I want to tell you seven things here. Number one, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. First of all, there's a calling of these 12 by the Lord. I mean, he knows your address and phone number. He knows mine, too. He knows my zip code, by the way, too. Amen. And so he calls these men, of course, by spending all night in prayer, Luke 6 tells us. And then notice it says he called them unto him. Unto him. How many know we're called unto him and by him? I don't care what ministry you have, isn't that right? Which speaks to me of sanctification, being set apart unto the Lord and for the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then number three, you'll notice something else here. They were called disciples, not just spectators, not just only believers. They're disciples, Brother Speed. Amen. They are a learner and they're under discipline. How many know that's a dirty word in the church, discipline. You see, there's a discipline, there's God's discipline, there is self-discipline, there is home discipline, and there is government discipline, and there's about four or five of them we could get into and teach on. But we need discipline tonight. God's discipline in our hearts and in our lives. How many know we cannot do what we want to do?
That's right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so they were called disciples. They were under discipline. And they were learners. They were willing to learn. How many are still willing to learn? I told Brother Speed today, the more that I know, the more I realize I don't know anything. And that he has everything and he knows all. Amen. And I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to be teachable and I'm willing to have an open mind to the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And then number four, notice he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In the apostolic ministry, there is power to cast demons out and to heal the sick. If a man says it's impossible, I want to see some demons cast out. Come on. And I want to see somebody get healed. Isn't that right? We need to look for signs if a man has that, says he's an apostle. Now, something else here. Notice in verse 7, notice their message. He said, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within your reach. Hallelujah. And so that was the message, the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the power of God. The kingdom speaks of the glory of God. The kingdom speaks of the will of God. How many know the kingdom is a person? His name is Jesus. You can go on and on. Now, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 8. Notice something here. Not only is there a commission to preach the kingdom, but notice he equipped them. If God has called a man to be an apostle, God's going to equip that man. Come on. With gifts that he needs. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And it said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. You have received, freely give. Now, this was given right here directly to the apostolic ministers. How many know we can all cast devils out as believers? Isn't that right? We can all preach the gospel, too, to somebody. We can all get people healed. Come on, so forth. But we're looking at apostolic ministry right there as well. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the scriptures. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to look at verses 18. Now, in this chapter, notice it says here in verse 18, but now hath God, and we know God's a spirit, so the Spirit's doing the work, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now, how many know God will set you in a place that you don't like? And he'll put you, don't let me get on that. He'll put you with people that you will not agree with. Come on, many times. Huh? Amen. How many know we're to be prisoners of the Lord? And when you're in prison, you don't choose your cellmates, do you? And I guarantee you, you and I don't choose our cellmates. Amen? Hallelujah. But he said here in this verse now, that God is setting the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. And God knows what we need. God knows who you need and I need. Amen. God knows how to get to all of us, don't he? Sure does. Now, amen. You just stick around a local church a while. Amen. I mean, no, you'll learn one another pretty quick. And you'll see their good points as well as their other points. And they'll see yours too. Now, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and notice, members in particular. And God has set some. Now, here he didn't say everybody, did he? God has set some. Now, we know God wants to set all the members in the church in their proper place. But now God said he set some in the church first. Everybody say first. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then after that, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. And did you notice right there in that verse, the evangelists and the shepherds not even mentioned there. But I believe they're included. I mean, in gifts of healings, you see the evangelists. And in governments or steerings, you can see the shepherd. Somebody's got to be in charge somewhere. Come on, don't shout me down. It's true. But he said, God has set these in the church. These apostles and prophets and teachers and so forth. Praise the Lord. So God is setting people in their place. Now, I believe every one of us as ministers and people of God need to be placed by God. Now, how many know God has to show each one of us our place? Now, sometimes he'll do it by revelation. Sometimes he'll do it through the prophetic word. Sometimes he'll speak to you. Maybe he'll give you a dream, however he chooses that. Sometimes people go for a period of time before they are placed. But God wants to place us in our place. Can you say amen? Amen. And nobody can do that for you. How many know you've got to hear God and know God in this situation? Amen. But here's what I'm going to say. I believe every one of us who are ministering, that includes me and that includes all of us, the ministries as well as the people, I believe we need a place where God has set us. Hallelujah. Amen. It may be in Arizona, maybe in Oklahoma, maybe here in Arkansas, wherever. But we need to know that place and get in that place and be a blessing to the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Now, many are out preaching, and that's good. But I believe those who are not connected, I believe they have a problem when they begin to preach to the local church. Because the first thing somebody's going to say is this, okay, where do you hang your hat? Where do you belong? Well, I mean, no, we need to tell them something. Either God hadn't placed me, or I'm desiring that place, or I'm in a such and place, such and such place. Come on, help me now, don't shout me down. I believe every apostle, prophet, teacher, shepherd, and evangelist needs a place where they're connected with somebody. Now, the settings may not all be the same. I mean, that's up to God. Isn't that right? Hey, I know people that meet in homes that have great meetings, and God's put the thing together. How many know there's nothing wrong with that? As well as, the local church. Then, how many know the priest tithing? I believe we need a place where we can support a work of God. Can you say amen? And I know there's many places we can support. But I believe we need a local place where God's placed us and we support and stand behind that minister and local church. I mean, if we don't support the local church, it will fall and it will affect the universal church as well. Can you say amen? But there's also fivefold ministers out here that needs to be supported too. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at this. I mean, somebody might send you tape or some kind of literature that blesses you and encourages you. God may speak to you to support that minister. Isn't that right? Amen. That's up to you and between you and God. And then we must be submissive to a body. And I don't believe I can teach submission unless I'm submissive to somebody. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe that. All right. Now, in Revelation, how many know it was the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, church at Laodicea, and so forth? And how many know that he talked to the angel of each church? The Lord did. Isn't that right? And the Lord said to one church, he said, you have left, and he's speaking to this angel. I mean, all those angels are not those who flap their wings. Those angels are ministries in the local churches. And the Lord said, you've left thy first love. He spoke to the Ephesus church. I don't believe he was talking to those angels, you know, created beings. But there were ministries that were there that were supposed to be in charge, and he's holding them accountable. I mean, no ministries are accountable for what we teach and what we do and the way we act. Come on, I'll react. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But anyway, God has an order coming forth. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that just like when Israel was placed in the camp, he placed Judah here, he placed Benjamin over there and so forth. But how many know that when they marched, there was an order too? In Numbers, you know, Judah went first. That's the praisers. And right in the middle of the camp was the Levites who took care of the tabernacle. That speaks of worship. And right on the tail end was Dan, which speaks of judgment. I mean, oh, you can be a praiser and a worshiper, but if you're still not careful, if you don't judge yourself, how many know the enemy can come in the rear and rot up among you and you don't even recognize him? Somebody shout amen. It's true. Now let's go to some scriptures here. Look in 1 Thessalonians 2. I want to look at the apostle a few minutes here. This is such a big subject. Man, you'd never get through it in one night. But I think it's time to talk about ministries. It's time for ministries to get in their place. It's time for the ministries to reach out to people and people reach out to ministries. Come on. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. We got to do it in the right spirit. In chapter 2, here, we're dealing actually with three ministries in these scriptures. Paul's, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus, or Timothy. And I want to show you in verse 7. We'll go back to verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 2:6. Paul said, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And we're talking about three men here, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. You got that? I mean, old Timothy was like a son with the father, Paul. And there was impartation of that ministry from Paul to Timothy. Now, look at verse 7, what Paul says is in this ministry of the apostle. But we were gentle among you. Now, if a man's an apostle, he's going to know what gentleness is. Come on, help me now. God's going to work that in. He's going to learn quick. That's right. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children or cares for her children. I mean, no, that's the mother nature. Come on now. The gentle nature. But if you come down to verse 11, he says something else here with the apostle. He said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. So also in this apostle is authority. He knows how to bring discipline. Can you say amen? He has gentleness, but he also has authority from God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And back to verse 5, I missed that. He said, for neither at any time use we flattering words. There is a spirit of flattery in people and in ministry at times. I mean, the Antichrist is coming in with flatteries, Daniel says. Isn't that right? I mean, flattery is a lie. Smooth mouth. And he said, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. And in the ministry, we have to guard ourselves from covetousness and greed. Come on. And lust. Can you say amen? Amen. We have to guard ourselves from three things. The gold, the gals, and the glitter. Amen. And the guys. Come on, help me. Amen. So we see in this ministry, we see gentleness, and yet we see authority. Now, look, you know, there was the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I mean, they have a place, a special place in the Lord. But then there's also apostolic ministry of the churches. I mean, that. Look in Philippians 2. I'll show it to you. Now, of course, God's called them. The Lord's called them, of course. But in Philippians 2, look down with me to verse 25. Philippians 2:25. Now, there's four men in this chapter Paul deals with. Jesus, Timothy, Paul, and Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus in verse 25, Paul was speaking about him, said, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, hallelujah, and companion in labor, but notice something else, and fellow soldier. Now, Paul didn't call too many his fellow soldiers. But he's calling this man a fellow soldier. Now, watch what he says here. But your messenger, that word messenger is the word for apostle. He's talking to the church. He said, he is your apostle. He is your messenger. How many know a messenger has a message? Amen. that he that ministereth to my wants. And then if you'll go ahead and read how he got sick and nearly died and God had mercy on him. And it was for the work of Christ. Do you know you can overdo it in the Lord's work? We need the wisdom of God. I went through a great trial, walked through depression 15 years. But a lot of it I brought on myself because I overtaxed myself, pushing myself, especially 15 years straight without hardly taking any breaks and going and going and going. And I want to tell you something. You can't do that and get away. We've got to have wisdom when to come aside and rest and get a fresh word from God and just take care of our body for a while. And two things I've learned. You've got to have the ministry. You've got to have a strong body. And you got to have faith in God. Can you say amen? And if you have faith and your body's down, how many know you're limited? Come on, help me. Or if you have a strong body and you don't have any faith, you're limited. You've got to have faith and you got to have a strong body to go forth for God. And sometimes there are driving forces. Now, hear me. I'm talking to the minister. I'm talking to myself, too. There are driving forces. There are spirits of compulsion that drives ministries to go until their health is broken down. And you've got to have the wisdom of God when to shut it off. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 8. Oh, hallelujah. Lord. 2 Corinthians 8. Praise the Lord. Now, here, I'm going to show you these messengers of the church again. And here, they're unnamed messengers. I don't know who they are. It didn't say. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please look with me down to verse 23. And Paul said, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. Here, now notice this. They, these brethren, whoever they are the messengers or the apostles of the churches. And what else? The glory. Oh, hallelujah. Of Christ. The apostolic ministry brings glory. Come on. They are the glory of Christ. Are you hearing me? But he said, they are your messengers, your apostles of the churches. Thank you, Lord. Now turn to Acts 11. This is just a simple teaching tonight, but let's just go there. Acts 11. I'm pretty simple anyway. Acts 11, and I want to go to verse 20. We see that God's Spirit is moving, and men are coming down to a place called Antioch. I mean, that was where they were called Christians first. And they didn't call themselves that, Brother Speed. They were called that. Their lifestyle brought on the title, these are Christians. And so they're coming to Antioch. Now, God had he started the church in Jerusalem. And yet, that which was in Jerusalem seemed to move down towards Antioch. And how many know God started another church? And I know there's several Antiochs. But anyway, here, notice, they go down and they're preaching Jesus, verse 20, verse 21. And the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. See? And they, notice, I want you to see that word they. I believe represents the church and the no doubt the apostles. They sent Barnabas. How many know we need to be sent by somebody? First of all, Jesus, the Lord. But how many know he also ordains people to be sent out of the local churches? Somebody say amen. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Now listen to what he says here. It says, brethren, notice, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now I want you to notice here, he was told how far to go. Now I know they had to hear the Holy Ghost. How many know some would say, well, I'm not going to listen to that. I'll go as far as I want to. Well, how many know you might get hurt? Verse 23. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted, come on, them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, like Stephen. And much people, come on, was added to the Lord. Now notice what Barnabas does. He goes and finds Saul, or Paul, in verse 26, they come to Antioch, here in this place, and notice for a whole year, you see, we got Sunday schools. But how many know that isn't God's order? I said it's not God's order. Sunday school ain't God's order. God has God called anointed teachers, come on, as well as the other ministries, to teach people in God. We get somebody saved 1 week, and how many know a month later they're teaching Sunday school? Come on. How many's ever seen that? Sure you have. Amen. Oh, that gets you, going every direction. Now listen to what he says here in this verse. He finds Paul, and they come to Antioch, and for a whole year, this is God's way. Can you imagine going to church every night? Tell some to go once a week. Well, I better not say that. Put a zip on my lip. They assemble themselves with the church and taught much people. And notice, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, next verse. Now, after the teachers have come in and taught, notice who's going to follow. God's going to send the prophet. Oh, the prophets. Hallelujah. You know, the prophets traveled in teams too, didn't they? And the apostles traveled in teams. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. Agabus means locusts. I mean, oh, God will burn up your pea patch too. And mine with the prophets. Come on, don't shout me down. And he signified, prophesied by the Spirit, there's going to be a dearth in all the world. And it came to pass in the days of Caesar. And we know that the brethren sent relief. They believed that word. There was a witness. They sent relief to the brethren by the hands. I want you to notice, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I mean, today you couldn't put that money in just every minister's hand. Isn't that right? Some have him a mansion by the lakeside pretty quick. Come on, don't shout me down. It's true. It's true. But over and over in the book of Acts, you see where people laid money at the apostles' feet. They were trustworthy. Can you say amen? They were trustworthy. Hallelujah. Now, look in chapter 13. First of all, they were teachers here in Antioch. Then in chapter 13, notice we come to the local church that Paul and Barnabas had taught for a year. And it said, now there were in the church, the local church, and that was in Antioch, certain what? Prophets and teachers. I want you to notice that. Certain prophets and teachers. Now, what's the definition of a local church? I wrote this down. That part, hear me now, that part of the universal church resident within a given locality. Does that make sense? Now, he said there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And he gives the names of them. Right here, Barnabas and Simeon and then Paul and different ones. And so now we see Paul and Barnabas not only teachers, but they're also prophets. How many thank God for the teachers? How many thank God for the prophets? Amen? Now, so they're prophets. Now, what are they doing? Verse 2, they're ministering to the Lord and they're fasting. And the Holy Ghost said, and no doubt he may have chose a prophet most of the time, I think. I mean, no, if you got an apostle, prophet, and teacher, shepherd, and evangelist here, most of the time, I'm not saying it's, all the time, but when God moves in a sovereign way, he'll choose the highest order most of the time to speak. He'll choose that apostolic ministry first. Come on, hear me now. I've seen it many times. Not that the others are not important. Please don't misunderstand. And so God is speaking probably through one of the prophets. I can't prove that, but I would think he would. And notice, he said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They'd been called, but now the separation is going to take place. They've been a teacher. They've been a prophet. But now God has a special work for them, doesn't he? I mean, no, apostles means a sent one. One who is sent for. As my Father has sent me, he said to the apostles, even so send I you. Amen. Now, look down to chapter 14, verse 3. As they fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. I want you to notice from the local church, as they prayed, as they fasted. How many know it's a serious thing to go out into ministry? You cannot take it lightly. I cannot take it lightly. But as they fasted, as they prayed, hands were laid upon them, and they sent them, Paul and Barnabas, away. Next verse. So they being sent forth by, come on, the Holy Ghost. No guessing here. I said no guessing here. It's God. Now, look over in chapter 14:14. We see something else here. Which when the apostles, not just the teacher, not just the prophet, but when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard thereof, they rent their clothes and so forth. So now they're moving into apostolic ministry. Now, what I'm going to tell you now is just my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right, which I may not be. But I believe it takes from 20 to 25 years to make an apostle. Now, that's just my opinion.
I mean a real full-fledged apostle moving in the Lord. I know of a man one time who there was a prophet, and he argued with the Lord because the Lord said he was an apostle, and he said, no, I'm a prophet, Lord. And of course, he went back and forth. And finally, the Lord said, you are an apostle, and you're in diapers. So in that sense, in diapers. He was young. He was a young one. Well, I mean, you got to start someplace if God's called you to that ministry. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. So it takes a while to become a full-fledged apostle in God. Can you say amen? Now, let's see some of the marks of the apostle. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Now, I don't know why God had me to bring this word. I didn't ask him, but I just know it's right. And I'm going the way God said go. 2 Corinthians 12. I didn't choose to preach. 2 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 12. Well, go back to verse 11. Paul said in the latter part, he said, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle, I want you to see this, were wrought or performed among you. Notice what come first, in all patience. So if a man's an apostle, he's going to have power, he's going to cast demons out, he's going to heal the sick, and you're going to look for some patience. My wife said, I don't have very much, so that problem might take me out. I don't know. Hallelujah. I want you to notice something. These things were performed among you in all patience. I mean, no, we all need more patience. Huh? Tribulation worketh patience. And yet we have to be patient in tribulation. Now notice, what else? Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. I mean, no, that's the dunamis. That's the power of God. I believe if a man is called to be an apostle, you're going to see some power of God in his life. You're not lifting up the man. How many know it's Christ in the man? Isn't that right? Amen. So, now look in 1 Corinthians 9. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. And look at verse 1. Paul said, am I not an apostle? How many know they question his apostolic ministry? I don't care what ministry you have, your people's going to question you at times. But who cares? As long as you know you've heard from God and you're walking in what God's called you to. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And you got to see, remember a while ago we saw Paul as a teacher, then a prophet, then an apostle. There's progression. How many know you're not going to jump from grade 1 to 3 unless you're really smart? I didn't. Come on. Come on, there's a progression in God in there. Now he's saying something to us. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have not I seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Well, I don't know if all apostles do, but he had. He had seen Jesus. Amen. I have a friend of mine that I know is an apostle of the Lord and God, and yet he has seen Jesus. He appeared to him many years ago and saw him. In fact, when he came into his house one day, this is what happened to him. He was going to enroll in a Pentecostal Bible college, and I'll never forget him telling me this. And as he ran into the house, he saw Jesus standing right there in his house, and his back was to him. And as he comes up to him, and he tells him that he's enrolling in this college, this Bible college. And he said, Jesus turned with blazing eyes and said, if you enroll in that Bible college, you have rejected me from being your teacher. And he never went to the Bible college. Hallelujah. How many know the fivefold ministry is the Bible college? Come on. Oh, yes, they are. That's how we're going to be perfected and matured in God. Now, we're not submitting to man's flesh. We're submitting to Christ in the man or in the woman. Isn't that right? Thank God for the women ministries. Can you say amen? How many know God's called them just like he's called the men? Amen. Now, look in chapter 9, what he says now. He said now, are you not my work in the Lord? He said, many question my apostolic authority, but he said, I tell you, you are my work in the Lord. I mean, Paul got these people saved, baptized in water, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to try to teach them, and yet they were still carnal. But look in verse 2. If I be not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal or the proof of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Now look at verse 3. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. That means criticize, I think. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and who? Who was that? Peter. How many know he couldn't be the Pope? He was married. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So he said, we got a lot of popes around. They don't live in Rome. And we can be a pope if we're not careful. I mean, we should never seek to dominate God's people. I don't care who we are. Can you say amen? Never. In fact, we should hate that very thing. Now, go to Acts 14 again. Go back to Acts 14. Now, in Acts 14, look at verse 26. Now, we know that Paul and Barnabas left the church at Antioch and went into apostolic ministry. Now, here, and they were sent out, of course, by the brethren. Now, in verse 26 of chapter 14 of Acts, it says, and thence sailed to Antioch, here they're coming back, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now, they went out, but they fulfilled the work God sent them. Now, next verse. And when they were come, that is, back to Antioch, notice, they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done for them, and how he opened the door, come on, of faith to the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. So they had left the local church, been sent out, and then they come back and reported what God had done. How many know it's good to go, and it's good to come back? It's good to be sent, fulfill the will of God, and yet come back and report what God has done. Can you say amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Now look in chapter 15. Let me tell you something. Again, I think this is probably my opinion. But I believe it'd be easier for apostle and prophet to travel together than two apostles. Because they do butt heads. Now look here in chapter 15, in verse 36. Verse 36. Hallelujah. Now notice that some days after Paul and Barnabas said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark. But Paul thought, not good to take him with him. Notice, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went out with them to the work. Went not with them to the work. And the contention. I mean, know that it still happens. I said it still happens. The contention was so sharp between these two apostles. I don't know who was right and who was wrong. Probably both. That they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. And yet later, Paul did say, bring John Mark. He's profitable. Amen for the ministry. Hallelujah. I don't know who was right and wrong, but I do know that. And yet, Paul and Barnabas got back together later on. Amen. So there was contention. How many know that Paul rebuked Peter to his face in Galatians? Two apostles going at it. Well, I think it was more one going at it towards the other one. But nevertheless, you get two apostles together, you got some problems. Usually between each other. Praise the Lord. But we need the apostolic ministry. We need all the ministries in the Lord. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. How many want to be an apostle? Well, let's see. Let's see. Don't try it if God hadn't called you, by the way. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. Now, listen to what Paul said. I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. And yet we saw a while ago God has set the apostles in the church first. Now he's saying they're last. My. And notice, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We're weak, but you're strong. You're honorable, but we're despised. Now that's apostles. Even in this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Now you preach the prosperity message right there, will you? It won't work, will it? Come on, help me. Amen. Now, verse 11. Verse 11. And laboring, working with our hands, own hands, being reviled, come on, criticized, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. That was apostles back in the church. They were not popular. Now turn to Revelation. Let me give you another good scripture. Revelation chapter 18, please. Revelation 18, verse 20.
this Jezebel harlot church system. How many know God's going to bring her down? Verse 20. How many know she hates apostolic ministry and she hates prophets of God? And I'm not talking about a gender here. I'm not talking about a female or a man, you know, here natural. I'm talking about a spirit. He said, rejoice over her, thou heaven and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath, come on, avenged you on her. Now look at verse 24. Here he mentions the prophet. And in her, in this harlot church, was found the blood of prophets, the very life of prophets were poured out, and of saints. She hates the saints. And of all that were slain upon the earth as well. I want you to notice, prophets, saints, and all that were slain. So I know she hates the apostles, she hates the prophets, she hates the saints of God. How many know we should hate that spirit too? That harlot spirit. Can you say amen? Oh yes, praise God. Now, turn over to Philippians. I want to look at something now. Remember, Timothy was an apostle. But I want to show you something about this man, young man. I get encouraged when I read about Timothy. In Philippians 2, I want to look at verse 19. Remember, he's an apostle. I know some said he was a pastor, but he was a shepherd. He had to be. I mean, an apostle is a prophet. He is an evangelist. He is a teacher. And he is a shepherd. He's all. Are you hearing me? Now, how many know a prophet is not always an apostle? But an apostle is a prophet. How many heard what I said? Amen. Prophets don't always attain up to the apostolic ministry, but all apostles are prophets. Amen. Now, here he says in verse chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 19, it said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of a good comfort when I know your state. Now, verse 20, watch what Paul said about this young man who became an apostle. For I have no man like-minded, that means with similar spirit, then he said, who will naturally care for your state or your welfare. How many know that this man cared for the people? He wasn't in just for the money, come on, or some big name. He loved the people of God. And Paul said, I don't have anybody that's like-minded, that's the mind of Christ, who will naturally care for your state or your welfare. He's concerned for you. Next verse. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Which is selfishness. But you know the proof. He's a proven vessel. That as a son with a father, he, Timothy, has served with me. He's a servant. He served with me in the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know God's after faithfulness? You know, if you read Colossians and Ephesians, he says to the saints and to the faithful, not all saints are faithful. But the faithful are saints. Amen. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We go a little further here with this. 1 Corinthians 16 here with Timothy. And notice what Paul says about this young man. In verse 9 he said, a door and effectual is open to me, Paul said, and there are many adversaries. How many is praying for open doors? Well, good. You're going to get some adversaries with the open doors. They come with it. Now, verse 10. Now, Timotheus, come, see that he may be with you without fear. I mean, no, he mentioned fear also over in Timothy. So probably this man had a problem with fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. This young man. He's in the work of the Lord just like me, Paul says. Now, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Hallelujah. So Paul had much confidence in Timothy, man of God who became an apostle of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Now go to Acts 20. No, go to Acts 14. We'll change it here. How many's learning? Acts 14. Now, how many know in the Bible they didn't vote them in or vote them out? But how many know many do? It's not scriptural to do that. In Acts 14, verse 22, notice, and Paul here is coming to Lystra. I mean, Lystra's where Paul was stoned to death, and yet he gets up and goes right back in the place where they stoned him. Now, he comes after he's stoned, he's going to preach the kingdom of God. Now, look in verse 22, confirming the souls of disciples, And notice, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, why did Paul exhort them to continue in the faith? Because problems are coming. Trials are coming. And you can't give up. He just got stoned. He didn't give up. Come on. He's telling them exactly what's in his heart. Now, as well as experience. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, here's Paul. Here's Paul, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called the minister, apostle of God, and yet he said, we must enter the kingdom. By what? Much tribulation. How do you want to enter the kingdom? You see, it's one thing for that kingdom to come in you and I. But then God says, okay, now you come into me. Come on. Holy Ghost comes in you. He said, now you move in the Holy Ghost. Christ comes in you. You move in Christ. Christ is the power of God. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. The kingdom is the power of God. The power is in us, and yet we move in the power. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, look at the next verse. And when they had ordained them elders, come on, in every church. Now, notice it didn't say when they ordained just the pastor. Does your Bible read that way? I'm not against the pastor. Please don't misunderstand me. How many know elders are pastors and shepherds? And I'm not just talking about some board over here, you know, just, you know, who don't know their place in God. How many know elders are called by God? Amen. Now, a lot of people call themselves elders, are not elders. Or they're not in a position to function as an elder. How many know an elder, if he's called to be an elder, he's got to qualify and come up to that place in God where he's ready to move and operate as an elder. Amen. Isn't that right? How many thank God for elders, real elders? I was in this church one time, Brother Speed, and I asked for the elders to come. Up to the church, up front. No, I mean, I didn't ask. The another brother asked for all the elders to come up. And every man in that church run to the front. Somebody just got saved. It's the truth. Somebody just got saved, and every man came to the front. Claimed to be an elder. It's not right. Come on. I believe God has ordained elders in the church. Now, let's see what an elder does. Hold your place. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. Look at 1 Timothy 5. And let's see what the elders do. Some of them. 1 Timothy 5. I've seen them do a lot of things, but let's see what they're supposed to do. 1 Timothy 5. Look at verse 17. Let the elders that rule well. I mean, there's a condition there now. They're ruling, but they're ruling well. Be counted worthy, come on, of double honor. I mean, it takes two nickels to still make a dime. Double honor. Now, notice what he says here. Who are we dealing with? Especially they who labor, and it is a work, in word and doctrine, or preaching and doctrine. So elders, some elders are to preach and teach and set forth God's doctrine in the church. Can you say amen? I'm talking about the Lord's doctrine now, not man's. And I want to tell you, it's labor. In fact, somebody said when you're under the anointing and you're preaching, so many hours, it's like working, I think, 40 hours or something. And I know many times when I'm under that anointing, I'm ministering and pouring out. When I get through, I'm drained. And I got to go eat something.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.